This summer we have been talking about the practices that help us grow as believers. And while there are so many of them that we could talk about, we have spent some time talking about Sabbath and rest, about reading God's Word, spending time in prayer. The last 2 weeks we've talked about practices that draw us together, community and relationships, worship, the time that we spend together as believers. And we're going to conclude our series today by turning our focus outward to giving and serving. And what I want to talk about today is not that we as Christians should love and serve others and give freely and practice compassion and mercy and justice, though all those things are most certainly true. What I want to say today is that giving and serving are among those practices and disciplines that help form our hearts, that help us grow as Christians. Open hands lead to open hearts. So I want to start today by having you hold out a hand. Start by closing that fist. What sorts of things does a closed fist symbolize to you?
Anger.
What else did I hear?
Frustration.
Anger, frustration. We close a fist to grasp or to hold on to something, particularly something we don't want to lose. We clench our fist in anger, also maybe in anxiety. You close your fist to get ready for a punch. If someone is stingy, we call them tight-fisted, right? Now open your hands. What's an open hand a gesture of?
Welcome.
Goodwill. What else?
Friendly.
Henry?
Ready to karate chop.
Ready to karate chop. An open hand can be a gesture of giving, of receiving. You shake hands with an open palm. You give a hug. You embrace other people with an open hand. Open hands can serve. They can work. They can give a hand up to someone else. A clenched fist can be a gesture of fear and anxiety, but an open hand, one of trust. Gregory Spencer said something that I thought was really interesting. It's, while your fist is clenched, you may be able to hold on to and keep what you're grasping, but you can't really add anything to it, can you? You can't accept anything into your palm with your fists tightly closed. It renders us unable to receive. Giving and serving are open-handed practices, spiritual disciplines that help us keep our hands and our hearts open. And they engender the virtues of humility, trust, love, patience, compassion. And open-handedness is at the heart of the passage that Jan was reading for us from 2 Corinthians 9. And everything that Paul has to say in these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And we talked about the Corinthian church quite a bit last summer. We spent a whole summer series on it, if you remember. This was a church where they believed themselves to excel at everything that we might call spirituality. They were very proud of their spiritual gifts and their charismatic leaders and their services of worship and prayer. But they struggled, among other things, with the gift. Paul calls it the grace of giving and serving. And Paul writes to them about this in these two chapters because he's coming, and he's coming with an offering plate to take up a collection for the poor in Jerusalem. And not only does he want them to contribute generously, as they had promised the last time he was there, but he does not want them to miss out on the spiritual benefits of giving and serving in this way, the way that it helps to grow their hearts. This is what he writes in chapter 8. But since you excel in everything, I think maybe a little tongue-in-cheek here. Since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and the love we have kindled in you, see that you excel also in this grace of giving. This grace of giving finds expression in hands that are open to serve, to give, and to receive. And I want to talk about each of those things just a little bit. Hands that are open to serve. Paul may be taking up a collection of money here, but there's more than financial generosity that he has in mind. Four times in these two chapters, Paul speaks of the Corinthians' service or ministry to those who are in need. It was Paul's image of God's people as the body of Christ in his first letter to the Corinthians that suggests to us that we are the hands and the feet of Christ when we serve one another in love. An open-handed service was, of course, at the heart of Jesus' ministry too, who came, he said, not to be served, but to serve. Who knelt down and washed his disciples' feet and instructed his followers to do the same. And he taught them that whatever service that we offer to the least of these, his brothers and sisters, we offer to him, to Jesus himself. When our hands are open to those in need, we meet Jesus in the act of service. Hands open to serve, hands open also to give. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, invokes the example of the Macedonian churches, their neighbors to the north, in Philippi, in Thessalonica, and Berea. Churches who, in spite of their poverty and persecution, had given generously to the collection, while the more affluent Corinthian congregation had hesitated to give. He begins his appeal in chapter 8, saying to them, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability." Generosity, it seems, is not a gift that is reserved for the wealthy and those with the most to give. But anyone can be generous. In fact, statistics to this day show that lower income households give considerably more to charitable causes as a percentage of their income than higher income households do. Those with the most resources do not necessarily make the most generous givers. In Luke chapter 21, Jesus highlights the example of the poor widow. "While the rich came and made a show of their generosity, her two copper coins represented all that she had to live on." And Jesus said, she's put in more than all of them. So generosity isn't about the amount given. It's about a condition of the heart. As Paul writes in chapter 9, "Each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." Whatever you give, he says in chapter 8, is acceptable if you give it eagerly. Third, we have hands open to receive. Paul makes it clear that only the open-handed are able to fully receive the gifts that God wants to give. "Remember this," he says, "whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." It's been called the law of the harvest. It appears in multiple forms on the pages of Scripture. In Jesus' words, he says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." God gives to those who have shown themselves to be generous and trustworthy stewards. The principle that Paul articulates here is that we are blessed in order to be a blessing to others. And by blessing others, we in turn are blessed. It is a cycle of blessing. 2 Corinthians 9 makes it clear that what God gives to us is for us to share. Paul says, "God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. He says, you'll be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. It's also important that we allow ourselves to be recipients of others' service and generosity. That's what Paul talks to them about in chapter 8. He says, at the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that, in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. He doesn't envision a one-way charity, but a mutual giving and receiving in the collection he takes up. You know, sometimes pride and a sense of control can get in the way of us keeping our hands open to receive. But it is also an act of grace to allow others to serve us when we are in need. Open hands lead to open hearts. Giving and serving do proceed from a heart of love. But it's also true that acts of generosity and service form our hearts to love. Doug Padgett writes that service isn't just how we act out our spirituality. It's how our spirituality gets shaped. Certain fruits are produced by giving and serving in our lives. That's why Paul calls it a grace. Because it's God's Spirit at work in us, enabling and empowering us to give and to serve, that God might do his work in us as well as through us. Acts of giving and serving expand our compassion. They cultivate in us the virtues of love and humility, patience and trust, and a disposition to place others first. It's one of the reasons the Bible says so much about how we spend our time and our money and our efforts. Because it's a spiritual issue, an issue of our hearts that plays out in our daily lives. Practicing generosity and service grows our hearts. And giving and serving also grows community, drawing us together. That Greek word that we talked about 2 weeks ago, koinonia, or fellowship, resurfaces here in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. There is a partnership among believers embodied in this collection that Paul is working on. A mutuality of sharing that strengthens the bonds between people. And if we remember, sharing resources and bearing each other's burdens was at the heart of the fellowship and community of the first Christians. Only this kind of mutual sharing could be called fellowship or partnership. There is a giving that creates distance when it's paternalistic and puts the giver in the role of the Savior, turning people into projects, reinforcing the differences between the one who gives and the one who receives. Paul had encountered that kind of giving before with many would-be benefactors in Corinth. He's actively trying to subvert that in these chapters. This collection is meant to strengthen the bonds of relationship. We know also that bonds are formed among those who serve together. Those who have been part of a ministry team or summer camp staff or gone on a mission trip know that relationships are formed and deepened between those who serve together. Paul writes in chapter 9, verse 13, because of this service, people will praise God. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Finally, practices of giving and serving don't just grow our hearts in community, but they grow the kingdom. They grow the church. Serving is a witness to the gospel. Chapter 9, verse 12 says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it's also overflowing with expressions of thanks to God. Jesus puts it this way, you are the light of the world, he says. Let your light so shine before others that they see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our acts of service and generosity prove the character of our faith to a watching world. Tim Morey devotes a full chapter of his book, Embodying Our Faith, to this, saying, good compassion is good evangelism. Our culture, postmodern generations in particular, requires that our faith demonstrate its ability to make a difference in the world, if it's to be considered at all. The witness of open-handed and open-hearted Christians is, for many, a reason to believe. Just as an experience of tight-fisted, closed-minded Christians can push them away. First Peter chapter 4, Peter tells us, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. We all have different gifts, different resources at our disposal, different ways that we are empowered to use our time, our talent, our energy, our money, all sorts of things. We dedicate those things to Christ when we serve as his hands and feet. With hands open to serve and to give and to receive, with hearts open to grow in love and compassion, patience and humility. Grant us, Lord, the grace of giving with a spirit large and free, that ourselves and all our living we may offer unto thee.